All right, Ethan, we're back. Brian and Ethan's Biathlon Podcast after World Championships. And unfortunately, this is going to be another low-key, not too much excitement with the editing episode just because I'm currently on the road. So we're just going to dive right into it. What do you say? Some biathlon, huh?
I think so. And I think this is one more episode than we did last year. So we're improving every year.
I was going to say, like, I think by completing this episode and uploading it, hopefully, knock on wood, that we are now setting a new record for ourselves. So we're going to give ourselves a little pat on the back. And I don't want to jinx anything, but I think we're on pace for a full season right now of biathlon podcasting, which would definitely be a first for us. So let's just keep this momentum rolling. And as long as the biathlon keeps being exciting and entertaining like it was in Oberhof, I think it's going to make our jobs pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
All right, let's dive right into it. First hit, I just got to go with the hype. Like, this was World Championships, and it felt like World Championships. And I mean, anytime you have a World Championships in, like, you know, Germany, Italy, one of these major biathlon nations, even Novo Mesto, I would say, is getting up there as one of the big nations. Oslo, you know, you have World Championships in one of these big nations, it's already right off the bat going to feel like a big event, a big, you know, just that, a big event. But there was just so much, like, there are so many small details in the production and just the venue, as well as just hype and excitement from the athletes. It was like, it was just so much fun to watch. Like, it felt like, you know, watching the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl was on at relatively the same time, right? So it was kind of like, oh, you see all these elite football athletes, you know, who are hyped about the Super Bowl, and then you see all these hyped biathletes about World Championships.
It was awesome. And I'm going to put it out there. It might have been a bigger event than the Olympics last year. And some people might disagree, but I think the races might have been more interesting. I think there was definitely more fans there than in Beijing. And I think just the total vibe around it from the athletes was awesome. And the sun came out in Oberhof, which I think honestly might be the first time in my life that I've watched a biathlon race in Oberhof with the sun. And yeah, it was just, we have some stuff to talk about, but I won't go too far into it now, but it was a pretty awesome World Champs.
Yeah, no, it's hard for me to top the Olympics, especially last year when I was working for NBC. I had my own personal hype. So for me, it's hard to say that this was better than the Olympics, but I will definitely agree with you. The fans being there made it awesome. And also just because it was like better weather, it seemed like the athletes were more into it. Like at the Olympics, because it was so dang cold, people just wanted to get out of there like immediately, you know, and like go get warm. And nobody was hanging out outside cheering on their teammate, you know, coming into the last shooting. But we just saw awesome clips of like Lisa Vitozzi jumping up and down, cheering, seeing her teammates like hit the target. And she knew she was going to get a medal. She knew she was going to win. Like seeing the Italian team cheering for Hannah Ockenteller as she stepped up huge in the relay. Like, that's what it's about. And like, yeah, it's maybe that just is the relay itself lending that type of opportunity for your teammates to be, you know, on camera going crazy for you. But even just seeing like the Swedish coach in the relay, or no, I'm sorry, not the relay, the Swedish coach in the mass start, who is going crazy in the Star Corral because you got two Swedes who are going 1 and 2 in the women's mass start. Like, it's just, you didn't get that in Beijing. And so for that reason, the hype was just awesome.
And I do want to say too that Oberhof redesigned their tracks for hosting this World Championships. And they used to have that super sketchy S-turn that they took out and made it straighter. I think that was a huge plus because we didn't see as many athletes crashing and breaking stuff, and that wasn't anything that the athletes or the teams or the spectators had to worry about watching, because no one wants to see someone's race ruined by a crash. I do also want to say that the graphics that the IBU had were pretty enjoyable. I love having the little like gold features and
the little subtle touches. It's the small things. It's the graphics. Mm-hmm. And even did you notice the lane markers were blue and gold as opposed to like blue and white or whatever they normally are?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the small things.
Little touches that we appreciate.
Yeah. And then we also had, at least in my opinion, I think we had big names step up. I think most people who you would have expected to be in the fight for the medal, except for like one, and maybe we'll talk about this later. I'd say most of our favorites stepped up, earned a medal. They, you know, performed very well at the highest level. But there were so many young people who stepped up and just had incredible weeks and or like defining moments in very specific races. We already talked about Hannah Aukenteller stepping up big for Italy in the relay. Hartvig came through with a sixth in the individual. Another Italian, Camola, fourth in the individual. Where does she come from? Like, I don't even know what her next best result is.
I know. It was kind of like everything we had hoped for. Like, the big names did well, but then we also caught a glimpse of the future and what the young athletes can do. And it just made me really exciting for the next few years in biathlon, the next world champs, and even the Olympics in a few years. I am excited to watch all those races.
Yeah, Camola's best, just to follow up on that, Camola's best result on the World Cup was in Contiolati. She was 20th, and then she comes in fourth in the individual, and then she comes in 10th in the mass start. So yeah, just way to step it up. And then just to shout out a couple other youngsters while we're on the topic. I thought Sophia Schneider and Lou Jean Monod going 5 and 6 in the pursuit was awesome. Caroline Noten coming in 6th in the mass start, Knoten from Norway. You know, I think many people would have had some other Norwegians up ahead of her in the mass start, but for her to come through big there was awesome. And then I saw you had, you wrote down Kebinger here, 8th in the pursuit. I mean, that's another one where I got to go look at her stats and results because I don't even know anything about her. I don't even know if I'm spelling her name correctly while I'm looking her up.
Yeah. And one of the big questions I know we talked about, I think a lot of people had, was how would Germany perform at home under all the pressure? And I think they crushed it. Their young athletes stepped up huge. They had an amazing women's relay. Herman won the sprint. And I think they handled the pressure well. And like you said, Schneider, 5th in the pursuit. That's an incredible race. And she was my surprise of the world champs we talked about last episode. So I will give myself a little pat on the back for that one. But it was just awesome to see all these youngsters and names we've heard of and you and I have talked about, kind of wondering what they could do. I think they showed us this week, and I'm excited to see what they can do for the rest of the season.
Yeah. And to follow back on Kebinger, the sprint in Oberhof was her 5th World Cup race ever. And there was also some confusion and drama, I remember, at the beginning of the week, in that I believe what happened, and I don't have the full story here because I've just been busy with some other stuff, but I believe what happened was there was a misinterpretation of the rules. And if you're a major nation, like one of the top five, I'm talking Norway, Sweden, Germany, probably Czech Republic at this point, you get normally on the World Cup, you get extra start spots. And then if like your team, like if you have an athlete like Bo, who's like number one in the world, technically they don't account for one of your start spots. So like there's all these like there's all this criteria that tells you how many athletes you get to race. But for world championships, they'd make it an even playing field. Every nation gets 4. But then going into like the first race or like a day before the first race, the IBU reminded everyone like, no, you guys get 5 for whatever reason. And there was mass confusion. Unfortunately, like one of the big issues was like Philip Field Anderson for Norway. He's Norway's number 5 guy, and what is he ranked, like top 20 in the world right now? But he didn't get to race at world champs, and then you know it was all bummed. Suddenly he gets to race, but oh no, he has COVID, so he doesn't get to race. Get Stromheim in here from the IBU Cup, and like it was just chaos. And I think Kebinger was one of those athletes who was like, I'm number five on the team. I don't get to race. And then last minute, they're like, no, you get to race. Get over here. And in her fifth World Cup race ever, she comes in 17th in the sprint and then moves up to eighth in the pursuit, 30th in the individual. That's, you know, that's a really good race.
Yeah.
And then backs it up with a 12th in the mass start. So yeah, just like, it's the hype, man. It's the vibe. It's it's world championships. It's, you got to step up. And that's what we saw. And I think that was pretty exciting. All right. Unfortunately, we got a miss here. And unfortunately, I think it's the USA. I think we just came up a little bit short. I don't think we, I don't think we met anyone's expectations. We're still battling with illness. Jake Brown, unfortunately, just can't seem to find his stride with the illness. We had a few good results. Like, I thought Paul did pretty decent with a 30th in the sprint. Unfortunately, not a great pursuit. Same with Deidre, 20th in the individual, shooting 19 for 20. So there were like, there were small glimmers of hope, but just as a team, it just wasn't our week. And I think you got to be disappointed if you're a USA fan.
Yeah. I mean, they've had kind of an up and down season with a lot of sickness, like you mentioned. And after World Champs, Paul announced that he's no longer racing for the rest of the season to get surgery on his knee and hopefully have that figured out and come back next year ready to go. But I don't know what it was, whether if they were all still kind of sick and tired from everything that had been going on in the season, or if they just didn't quite get the peaking down, if this was even what they were all hoping to peak for. But we saw some glimmers of success, and you know, it wasn't all bad, and we had some juniors and some younger, less experienced athletes in there, especially on the men's side, that, you know, stepped in pretty late with people being out and missing races and all that. But it was unfortunate to see, and you just gotta, you know, forget about it, move on, and hope for next year.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, is like, especially if you take Jake out of the equation, everyone on, or half the men's team is brand new, like barely new on the World Cup. Definitely their first World Championships. And then same on the women's side. I mean, you have Deidre and Joanne who are veterans. I would say Deidre is probably moving into that veteran category. But then you have, you know, Chloe and Tara, who are definitely newer to the World Cup scene, who, like, I mean, Chloe actually had a fine race, like 73rd place, shooting 0-1 for her. That's not bad. Like, I don't think, especially given it's World Championships, you have everyone performing at their absolute best. Like, Chloe's already a bubble person. And so it's not like there was any expectation for Chloe to come in the top 10. So it's like, looking at her result, not bad. Tara, maybe you hope she hit some more targets in standing, because she had four misses in standing in the sprint, but she cleaned her prone. And so it's like, with her ski time, I think, I don't know, without diving into the stats too, you know, deeply, I think from what I recall, her ski time was actually not that bad. So it's like, you have to take it with a grain of salt. Same with Maxime. I mean, Maxime's 65th. The dude's still a junior. He's going to Junior Worlds next week. Three misses coming in 65th, only 3 seconds out of qualifying. Like, there's no expectation for him to qualify for the pursuit. So, you know, it's like, yeah, maybe on paper you're like, oh, like that's a 65th, like Vincent, that's a 98th. But those guys are still super young and there's no expectation for them. So I think on paper it's like, yeah, it's kind of disappointing. We didn't have anyone, you know, fighting for the medals. But also it's like, you got to look at where our team is right now and realize that we're definitely in a rebuilding phase. So you can't expect, like, you know, can't expect that fight for the medals, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think it was a great experience and opportunity for those younger athletes and less experienced ones to, you know, kind of learn and kind of like be there and soak it all up and then have less question marks going into World Champs next year. And like you said, Maxime was super close to making the pursuit. And he was actually like 14 seconds behind Benedict Dole, who, although did not have a great sprint, if you told Maxime he was going to be like within striking distance of someone like Benedict Dole, I think he'd be pretty happy with that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's one American we have not mentioned, and he's kind of honorary American. Campbell Wright had a pretty decent world champs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's had, you know, a good week and, you know, a bright kind of a bright light shining through the darkness of what happened. But yeah, just kind of not the best week for the US.
Yeah. And honestly, as I'm like kind of quickly scrolling through and reminding myself of the results, I don't think it was like too dark. I think mm-hmm. you would have loved your veterans to do a little bit better, but I think considering where the team is, it was a fine week. It wasn't that disappointing. It wasn't outstandingly well and positive. It was just fine. It was like, mm-hmm. you know what? And honestly, it's the thing that makes it disappointing is because it was World Championships. If this was just a regular World Cup weekend, you would just be like, okay, take something that went well, do better next time, and move on. But because it's World Championships, it's kind of like, oh man, like that's the week you wanted to do well. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I hope, you know, yeah, you're right. Like, hopefully Jake can get back. I heard that he's not going to be participating in Novo Mesto, still recovering from illness or COVID. I'm not really sure what's going on. Rumor has it he's back in the US right now, just prepping. Paul, mm-hmm. he's out of it for the rest of the season, and hopefully Sean can bounce back, because some of those younger guys are going to be going to Junior Worlds. And then same for the women. Hopefully they can bounce back and keep going strong and have a good finish to the season. Because the season's always a little bit more palatable when you can finish on a high note. Because when you finish on a low note, it makes summer training all that more difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to the women's competitions, because they were pretty awesome. I mean, there was no one person. Actually, I don't think there was a repeat winner, was there?
I think so.
Oh, Hannah Oeber.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. She won the individual in the mass start.
Yeah.
But other than that, the women's field was the complete opposite of the men's field, in that it was full on head to head, seconds separating medals. Just awesome competition. Mm-hmm. Diverse competition.
Mm-hmm. And every single race was exciting, on the edge of your seat from start to finish. I mean, Hannah Oberg won the individual by 10 seconds. For an individual, that is super tight.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole last lap, you were just like sitting there waiting. And then Lisa Vitozzi had one miss in her last standing shooting. I'm pretty sure she missed her last target. And had she hit that, it would have been a real close race between her and Hannah Oberg for the gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
And the largest win margin was 27 seconds. I think the remainder of the races, which was the pursuit, by the way, but I think the sprint was like 2 seconds. The individual was 10 seconds. The mass start was like 4 seconds. Every single race was incredible. And although there were no World Cup points to be handed out at World Champs, I think the rest of the season, the top 10, top 15 might be shaken up pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, and good on Julia Simone too, to win the pursuit with Denise Herman starting first on a home field advantage and Simone starting a minute and 2 seconds back. And she ends up winning. And she has to go through, like I already mentioned, Denise Herman-Vick, Hannah Oeberg, who was in second, Roislin, who started fourth, Vitozzi, who started fifth, Davidova, who started sixth. Like, she had to, six of those top 10 were like, you really got to fight against them. And then you have like Magnussen and Pearson, two very strong Swedes who were also in the top 10 ahead of her. So the fact that Julia Simone won that race is incredible and super good for her. But that just, even though that was the race that had the biggest margin of victory, again, it fit that bill of like, that was a super exciting race. I can't believe what I just witnessed, you know?
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like, yes, there's the leaders in the World Cup and the top, you know, names and athletes, but it wasn't those athletes, you know, filling up the top spots every single race. Like, it was mixed in with, like you mentioned before, in the individual, Kamola was fourth. Schneider and Jean Monnet were in the top 10. And it was like every race was new people, new names. And it was just amazing to watch.
Mm. Okay. What was your favorite women's race of the championships?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm probably going to have to... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to give you a second to think. For me, hands down, the relay, the women's relay, mm-hmm. with not only like Kamola starting off super well, going 0+0 for Italy, Doro, and like what a risky move to put Kamola as your handoff, your starter, your scrambler. Mm-hmm. Like, aside from Hannah, and then you have Hannah Akintag going third, like super inexperienced, having good races, but it's like, hey, guess what? You're at world champs now, and you're racing third for Italy, and you're racing in between Doro and Lisa. So your number one job is when Doro touches your shoulder, you got to get to touch Lisa's shoulder as fast as humanly possible. And she did that using one spare round. And then she hands off to Lisa, who goes clean. And that last shooting stage, you have Lisa Vitozzi, Denise Herman, Hannah Oyberg, and I think Julia Simone was even close, maybe not. Looks like she was a little bit farther back. And Lisa Vitozzi just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm out of here. This race is Italy's. Like, for me, that was the best race of the championships.
Mm-hmm. I was going between the relay and the mass start, but since you said the relay, I'll go with the mass start. I think, you know, Tandrevold coming back from, I would say, a less than ideal relay, and some other races that weren't so great, especially after what happened before the break, where she was seemingly struggling pretty hard with her standing shooting to clear her standing targets in the mass start, hold on for second. And that last lap was so exciting to watch, because coming out of the range, Tandrevold was in second and Simone was in third, but Simone went full gas right out of the range to catch and go ahead of Tandrevold. But Tandrevold just hung on for as long as she could. And Julia Simone, unfortunately, kind of hit the wall and blew up a little bit. And Tandrevold was able to take that second place. And that race was mixing up every shooting, who was in the front. And it was just an awesome race to watch.
Yeah, no, I mean, who would have thought that Tandrevold would have, you know, held off Simone for that, mm-hmm. for that medal.
Yeah.
But I just got to give one shout out to, like, Markéta Davidová,
mm-hmm.
because she was the one person who I kept picking on my, like, on my IBU predictor challenge. I kept picking her to get like a second or third place. I never thought she was going to win a race, but I kept picking her as like a solid, like, it's like almost like a safe bet. Mm-hmm. And she just kept coming in the flowers, but not on the podium. So I got to give a shout out to her, because she had a great championships, and I think she should be proud of how she did, with a mm-hmm. sixth in the sprint, dropped a little bit in the pursuit, 10th in the individual, 5th in the mass start, but just could not get that medal, which is just mm-hmm. too bad, too unfortunate. Would have really helped my predictions out, but mm-hmm. Just got to give her a little shout out there.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say one more thing about the mass start.
Yeah,
I did not realize this watching the race, but looking at the results now, Kamola, who we talked about before, fourth in the individual, was 10th in the mass start. And I believe she was the only one in the entire race to shoot clean and hit all of her targets.
Yep.
Incredible. That is incredible. Especially individual, relay, mass start, those three races in a row for her. That's awesome.
Okay, real quick, we're going down the Kamola train. last year, she raced 13 races on the World Cup. This year, she's raced 12, which is about a little bit more than half the... Oh, wait, hold on. Siri's going crazy here. Last year, she raced, 13. This year, she raced 12, so she's about to do just as much as she did last year. She's not doing as well in the overall score. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Looks like she got a couple medals as a youth at Youth World Championships. But really not much to write home about. Nothing outstanding that would have, told us that she was going to have the world championships that she did. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, even her last couple of World Cups before the world champs were like 40s. So, yeah, really good for her. Really good.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to jump back over to the men's race. There's a lot to be said about Johannes Tingesbo, but we'll do that later because I want to talk about Sebastian Samuelson. And the men's races, they weren't as exciting because Bo did extremely well and mm-hmm. everyone else was kind of fighting for second. And it was not much different than what we saw what we have been seeing on the World Cup. Mm-hmm. But one thing we did see this weekend was Seb Samuelson stepped up huge, which is awesome because he's kind of been falling back on the World Cup a little bit. And I was getting a little nervous because, I'm a big Seb Samuelson fan and ranked 13th overall. I don't, I think he's underperforming. And then suddenly mm-hmm. he comes up with a huge World Championships.
Yeah. And I guess I can kind of get into the story of why we're talking about Seb Samuelson in this World Champs. If you haven't watched the mixed relay, I would say go and watch that, but I'm going to spoil it right now for you all. Sweden were having an awesome race so far with the two Oberg sisters going first and second, and then Ponsaloma third. And then Samuelson was the last leg, just as usual, as he's done for however many years now. And he had three penalty loops in prone and bumped Sweden all the way down to ninth. And I'm pretty sure they were in the top four or five coming into the last leg. And finishing ninth for Sweden with the team they had is, I'm just going to say, a little disappointing. And you saw Samuelson finish in tears. If you go check out his Instagram and read his post about it, he, breaks it down for what happened. But essentially, the bolts on his rifle, screws, to not confuse terminology, but the screws on his rifle that attach the barrel to the stock were loose, and so therefore you could kind of wiggle the barrel and the stock separately and they would move, not together as one. And if you try to shoot with that happening, it is never going to go well. And that's exactly what happened to Samuelson, and the three penalty loops hurt a lot for Sweden. And watching that race, knowing what Samuelson is capable of and knowing what happened afterwards, that was a pretty tough break, but then to bounce back and have the races he had was amazing. And I am so happy for him. And to win the mass start after the long week, all the emotions, pretty sure he raced every single race, was incredible.
Yeah. And that is true. I didn't even consider that. He did race every single race. Having your betting bolts come loose like that is tough because on one hand, it's kind of like, well, in the middle of the race, there's nothing you can do. Like, mm-hmm. It sucks. It happens. One could argue that, hey, he should have checked his betting bolts before the race, and maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for him to bounce back like that, just absolutely incredible. So he ends mm-hmm. up having this super low moment. And also, I think he also posts on his story or something, like people commenting on his post about how his betting bolts were loose and how he feels terrible that he let his team down. People commenting mm-hmm. like hateful comments to him because of his performance. Mm-hmm. It's kind of shitty.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
like, it's one, I don't know, I can't even say it's one thing. It's like, it's one thing to be like, to comment on the race itself. It's another thing to attack an athlete for a poor performance, right? It's like, it's sport. It's supposed to be fun. We're supposed to be celebrating. We're supposed to be upset when our team doesn't do well, or like, you know, it's the emotional investment that we have. But if that emotional investment starts going so far as to you're personally attacking someone for a race or a performance, you got to check yourself. And this goes across all sports. And apparently he was getting a lot of that after his relay. So just for him to shut the haters up. And actually, I think, what did he do? I heard that he was doing some savage move of like, he was replying to all the hate messages with just like a picture of him like winning a medal at the Olympics or something and just being like, you know, by it comes and goes, basically. I don't know. But for him to shut all the haters up and then bounce back with a fifth in the sprint, third in the pursuit, third in the individual, and then, yeah, getting his first world championship gold medal in the mass start is awesome. And the other thing I love about Seb too is like, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. He wears his heart on his sleeve. Like, he was upset. He was very upset after that relay. And it's like, you know, he's invested so much time and energy into this pursuit. And especially in a relay, when you have teammates who are, you know, relying on you to just do your job. He didn't even have to do anything spectacular. He just had to do his job and he let him down. But then he's able to come back and he says something in the media where like, yeah, if it comes down to a sprint between Johannes Tingis and I think I can beat him. Like, that's what I love about Sebastian. I'm like, he's always got an opinion. He's letting his mind, he's speaking his mind, and he's not worrying about the haters or what other people will think. He's just living his best life, speaking his mind, racing his best biathlon, acknowledging when he doesn't race his best biathlon, and just having fun out there. And I'm just super excited that he won that mass start, because yes, I would have loved to have seen Bo win that. And we can talk about that in a minute, but if it wasn't going to be Johannes Tingis Bo, there's maybe one other person, I would say a couple other, but no other Americans were in that mass start. So if it couldn't have been an American, it couldn't have been Bo, then I wanted it to be Samuelson, and he had a great race.
And not only did he have a great race in the mass start, Ponce Aloma was second. And I think for Sweden, that last day with the mass starts was, you know, kind of gave them a little reassurance for the season that might not have been going as they had hoped at the start of the season. And Ponce Aloma, thank you for pulling it together for my fantasy biathlon team finally. But it was kind of a roller coaster world championships for Samuelson. And, you know, he's someone that you're always rooting for and hoping he has a good race. And although we didn't quite get that sprint finish between him and Johannes Tingis Bo, I'm hoping we get to see it at some point this year, because that's going to be one last lap to watch. And
dude, I wanted that so bad. I've made a joke. I was like, Seb should wait at the 100-meter mark, wait for Bo to catch up, and then they just have a 100-meter all-out sprint. Seb, Ponce Aloma, and Bo, just go for it. That would have been legendary.
That would have been awesome. They had time to do it too. You know, they had 20-something seconds before Ligrid. I think we should talk to them and let them know for next time.
Yeah, yeah. But good for Seb. And like, and also like, if you're a young athlete, this is just a great example of biathlon giveth, biathlon taketh away. Or, and sometimes it goes the other way around. Sometimes biathlon taketh away, but if you keep at it, keep focused, biathlon giveth eventually.
Yeah,
and more ways than one. More ways than one. Sometimes with world championships, sometimes you get to chat biathlon with some of your good friends. So,
yep.
All right. As the topic that I think most people have been waiting for. I don't know. Maybe people are tired of talking about Johannes Tingis, but we've got to acknowledge, like, the dude was on a roll, and with his pursuit pose before he crossed the finish line, in my opinion, iconic. Absolute like the most iconic picture of the championships. And unfortunately, he couldn't get the job done towards the end. And believe it or not, like the Norwegian men didn't win the relay. How could
you? Yeah.
And no, I don't think anyone could have predicted that. And if you did, you're totally guessing and you're lying if you called it. But yeah, doesn't get the gold in the relay, which was kind of unforeseen. And then just got beat, you know. Seb and Ponsaloma, they just beat him. I mean, 2-3 misses total. After a long week of being on top, like, unfortunately walks away with a bronze. He maintains his podium streak though. So he's still got a ton of, I think I counted like 13 races in a row on the podium. So he maintains his streak there. His gold medal streak does break, unfortunately, but you got to admit, like, that was a historic world championships we just witnessed.
Yeah. And, you know, he won in every way you can. He won, like, relying on his ski speed. He won in the range and the pursuit, shooting clean for the entire race. You know, it was kind of a complete, you know, repertoire of races and ways to win a biathlon race that he showed us. And it was just incredible to watch. And I think after the individual, I was kind of hoping that he would get gold in every race, just because that would be something that's never happened before and something that we'd talk about for the rest of our life. But we have to wait till next year, unfortunately. But it was such an incredible world championships to watch Johannes Tingesbo. And I don't think he's untouchable the rest of this season. And the question was, can he hold on for the rest of the week? And this just shows the wonderful, you know, possibilities that the sport of biathlon can have in the results. And you can be the best in the world by a long, long way for a week and a half, but you definitely can't keep doing it for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And I want to give credit here, but I can't recall where the credit is due. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that in the individual, Johannes Tingis skied the largest advantage, like the largest margin of ski advantage. Basically, he had the fastest course time over the second person ever in a biathlon race. And if I recall correctly, I think it was like over 2 minutes. Like, he skied over 2 minutes faster. Okay, a minute and 46 seconds faster than the second fastest person. That's the largest margin advantage for ski time in a biathlon race ever. And that's going back to when international biathlon races were like 20 people, 2 people from each nation. And like, they were skiing classic through the woods for like hours. Like, the races were 2 hours long. And that was the largest margin of ski advantage ever. So it just goes to show you, like, he was on. And to your point, he was winning on the range. He was winning on the skis. And he just had, yeah, a great week. And I really wanted him to win, because I think this whole season is historic. And I think this would just be like the cherry on top to be like, I mean, I think if he won out the gold, and then he continues to dominate the season and continues to have a podium event, a podium result in every single event to finish out the season, I think we are on pace to be having a conversation of greatest season ever. And you're talking about like the greatest season ever and comparing it to like Bjørn Dalen when he won a medal in both biathlon and cross country in 2002 in Salt Lake City Olympics, like, or like a year for COD, I think he had like 17 podiums in a season. And then like, I want to say like 9 of them were wins or something. I don't know. I can't remember all the stats off the top of my head, but like, there's a few seasons that come along that are just head and shoulders above the rest. And Bo is definitely on pace for one of those this year. And I think if he could have, like, my biggest thing is always like, how do they do when it counts? Right. It's like one thing to have like a stellar career. But if you don't have a gold medal at world championships or at the Olympics, it's like, yeah, you were great, but you're not a GOAT. Mm-hmm. And so like, what if Johannes Tingesbo wins every single World Cup, but he comes up flat at the world championships? Who cares? You know? And I think he proved, I mean, he came up huge at world championships with massive amount of gold. So I think he checked that box. Yeah, it's disappointing he didn't win all of them. And you're like, damn, like, could have been cool if he won them all. Mm-hmm. But he definitely checked that box of success at world champs in 2023. Yep. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. Why do you think that did you say that you don't think he's going to have the power to finish out as strong as he has been?
I just meant for the 2 weeks of world champs, I think Bathon will always win. And we were hoping that he could win gold in every single race, but I think just the way biathlon is and how the sport works, that was just not quite achievable.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I guess that leads us to our spare. Like, how do you think the season's gonna finish out? Because Jacquelin, who unfortunately was just a disaster at World Champs, he's called it quits for the rest of the year. Is Seb gonna maintain this momentum? Is Fiomaye gonna jump back up and be like, oh, I guess I peaked a week too late? The women's side is super close, and we had like Lisa come alive, Hannah Oyberg's come alive now. Denise Herman proves again that she can be the top. Like, how do you think the season's going to finish out? Is it just going to be the Bo show, the Simone show, or are we going to see some battles towards the end?
I think on the men's side, it's still going to be the Johannes Tingesbo show for the rest of the year. And I know he is not going to miss or not going to disappoint at the closing weekend in Oslo. I think that's going to be an awesome race weekend to watch.
I think that's going to be like a second world champs for him. I think that's going to be his like, yeah, I'm going to show up in front of my home crowd, and mm-hmm. now I'm just going to like race for fun. Not that he's not racing for fun now, but it's mm-hmm. like, that's, I feel like he's just got this like showman mentality where he's like, now I really want to put on the show, right? Like I've earned everything. I've done the work. I've, you know, fought. Now it's time to like do it with like some pizzazz at the end. You know, that's going to be Oslo.
Yeah. That's going to be incredible to watch. On the women's side, I don't know if Simone is going to be as dominant as she has been. I don't know what her target was this year, whether it's the overall or success at world champs. And given how our world champs went compared to the rest of the season, I'm kind of hoping she's been shooting for the overall the whole year. But I don't know if she's going to be as dominant as we've seen her this year. And Elvira Oyberg did not race a few of the races at the end of World Champs. And I'm assuming she was a little under the weather, not feeling great, not wanting to push it and risk the rest of her season. So she's going to have a little more time off and a few less races in her legs. And at least, like you said before, Lisa Vitozzi was incredible during Oberhof. Maybe she'll come back and make a run at that top spot. But I think the rest of the women's races throughout the entire year are going to be something to watch for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's just getting going. I mean, Simone's mm-hmm. got a little bit of a lead right now, just about, I'd say, 80 points over Oyberg. Lisa Vitozzi, honestly, right now, the way she looked at World Champs, she is, she's going to be my come from behind dark horse. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Pearson, I think, is just a little bit too far away with points. Hannah Oyberg's mm-hmm. too far away on points. Denise Herman, unless if she like wins an incredible amount to finish out the season, she could be, this could be like one of the greatest come from behinds ever. Mm-hmm. But honestly, with just seeing how things are right now, I think she still has a shot, which is crazy. She's like 300, about 250 points back of Simone, but I think she has a shot still. just with how wide open it's going to be. Same with Dora.
Yeah. I do have two more things to say that about World Champs.
Yeah, go for it.
First, some of the Ukrainian athletes were back competing that we haven't seen for most of the year. And I think they definitely surprised me given, you know, everything that's been going on the past year or so and how little they've been racing on the World Cup. To come back, I think they had quite a few top 15s, top 20s, and that was super awesome to see. And last thing that I hope they keep going for the rest of the year was the Sven Fischer follow cam at the start of all the mass start format races.
You like that?
It was entertaining to watch, like him trying to ski with the group with one pole holding the camera as long as he could. I wasn't sure if I quite liked the idea of having him actually follow the start, just because I don't know, if you're one of the athletes back there and you're starting to lose it a little bit, you don't really want to see this, you know, 40-year-old dude skiing his heart out with a camera trying to, you know, keep up. But it was amusing to watch him try to keep up as long as he could with one pole holding a camera. But I don't know if I like the idea of it.
I think there was a conversation on Twitter about something, and I don't know if it had to do with that or not, but I made a joke that was like, they should pick one random person from the audience and just have them suited up with all the top of the line stuff, top of the line wax job, and just have them race alongside everyone else, just to show how like impressive everyone else is. But I like the thought that you just put into my mind of like, you're like at the back of the mass start and you're kind of getting boxed out, and like maybe your wax team didn't do as good a job and you can tell already, uh-oh, my skis aren't doing that well. And you just look to your left. Yeah. And there's like, 40 or 50 year old Sven Fischer just with the camera in your face. And you're like, oh God. Oh no.
Yeah. And to the point you made of like having some random fan come in, Sven Fischer is a multiple, you know, world number one overall globe winner, won countless medals. He was at the top of the sport for the good amount of 10 to 15 years.
Oh yeah. He's a legend.
Yeah. Oh, one of the best biathletes of all time for sure. And, you know, in the races, he could barely, although he's on the older side of, you know, life at the moment, but he could barely keep up, and he only lasted, you know, halfway up that first climb every race. Although he'd have one pole and was trying to take video with his phone or whatever that might have been. But, you know, these athletes are a whole nother level to what you might think they are. And I think that if like it'd be cool if they had a random fan come in and try it, but that's kind of an idea if you're looking for what it would be in relation to someone that doesn't train for this year round.
All right, so here we go. Predictions for the Sven Fischer cam. Does it finish out the season or no?
I'm going to say no, just because the races aren't in Germany, and I don't know if the feedback that IBU got was 100% positive on it.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right, man. That's our podcast for this week. We've got Novo Mesto coming up pretty soon. I'm going to be in Kazakhstan, so God knows what the internet's going to be like there. We will do our absolute best to get a podcast out because, Ethan, we are on a roll. We've only got three more weekends, I think, right? We got Novo Mesto.
Yep.
We've got Östersund.
Yep.
And Oslo.
Mm-hmm.
We've got three more weekends, dude. We can do this. We can get through the season with a full season recap on our podcast.
I think we can do it, and I'm excited.
All right. The Wi-Fi in Kazakhstan is going to be the limiting factor here. So fingers crossed, everyone. And if we have bad Wi-Fi, send me a Tesla or Elon Musk Starlink, because then that's the only way we can do it. You know, if we got bad Wi-Fi, then that's the only way we can do it. So go send me that if you have the means. All right, we'll see you next time, everybody.